applications come in and fits them into the general all-over purpose of the foundation itself. That all-over purpose has been narrowed to the field of medical, of mental health, as only a very small segment of the entire medical research ideas. I am only sorry to say that I cannot keep up with all the material sent me by the Allegheny General Hospital, as well as by the Falk Medical Fund. But of course, this also parallels the amount of material I also receive from the Cerebral Palsy Association, of which I still remain a member of the board, and to the American Cancer Society, where I graduated. I went through all the steps from vice chairman to chairman and board member over a period of 10 or 12 years. It should be understood that service on a board of directors in nearly any organization is mostly informational, and that only broad, all-over policy decisions are made by the board. It should be also recorded that most decisions in any organization are made by a small group, usually constituting an executive committee, whose the direction then points the way for board action, which is therefore routine. In service on an executive committee, a great deal of work is required to have the proper knowledge to pass upon the various, rather complicated from time to time, and intricate decisions that must be made. On the national scale, my involvement with the United Jewish Fund starts back in 1932 at a meeting at Leo Lehman's home, where Felix Warburg talked to us about the Jewish situation overseas. And at that time, I became my first interest, my first donation to the United Jewish Fund. At about the same time, I became interested in the American Jewish Committee. At that time, headed in Pittsburgh by Leo Lehman, I became a board member, later vice chairman, later chairman, and have since retained a life trusteeship on the American Jewish Committee on the national scene as well as the local scene. On the national scene as well, I became a member of the board of the Council of Federations and Welfare Funds. And even though I am only a past board member, I try from time to time to keep up with the voluminous correspondence and an attempt to sit in on some of their meetings, but past board members are always welcome. From that point on also, I became interested in local scene. And on the local scene, my own interest has been rather varied. History and contact with the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, again, a separate organization, quite remote at that time, the United Jewish Fund, again, soon after coming to Pittsburgh, possibly by 1934, I became interested in obtaining work for Jewish families who could not find work in the very severe dark period following the 1932s. That means to the United Business Service, at that time an arm of the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies. We understood that in that day, in those days, there was no such thing as relief, and all relief had to come through the auspices of the United Jewish Fund or the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies. It was our duty on the United Employment Service to take needy families, if possible, off Federation and later state relief in order to put them into gainful employment. Richard Bunn, B-L-U-M, then the controller at Gimbel's, was the head of the United Employment Service, and when he left the city, they drafted me to become then the president of the United Employment Service. I was fortunate enough to secure the services of a white young man by the name of Robert Golden, G-O-L-D-E-N, who then succeeded in branching the service out to include sheltered employment, work for the handicapped, and, of course, employment of all needy Jewish families who have been on Federation relief rolls. The contact there began with Dr. Bernstein, head of the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, and then immediately after that, when he retired, Dr. Maurice Taylor. It soon became apparent that Dr. Taylor's social and service ideas were quite different than my own, and since I assumed that our purpose in life was to take people off relief rolls, I had to prove to Dr. Taylor that these people, if they could not get them off relief, were not worthy of being on relief. I still recall the story that there was a gentleman who drove a truck in Pittsburgh, and on the relief rolls for about $300 a month. This was all Jewish money at the time. He could not succeed in getting a job. So I volunteered that if he would come to our warehouse on a certain morning in a certain week, I would see that he had a job which would take him completely off relief. He never showed, and the reason that I later received was that since I had knowledge of the destitution of the family, it was against good social service for me to know anything about his background, and consequently I could not hire him. Then Dr. Taylor and I succeeded at the meeting at the YM and WHA of interviewing at least 20 to 30 people on the relief rolls to find out why we could not find jobs for them. And I was especially interested in a young lady who was receiving some money on relief, who wanted to become an actress, and she would in no way participate in any other type of work except that of becoming an actress. We finally succeeded in sending her to New York. We were particularly pleased at the end of each month to report to our board how many people we had in sheltered employment, for which of course they received some money, and how many people we had succeeded in getting jobs for. That was the early beginning of the present Vocational Rehabilitation Center, and I remained a member of the board, though no longer active as president, for all of these many years. I still am an honorary president and on the board of the Vocational Rehabilitation Center and attend their meetings regularly. At that time, I was very active in the Irene Kaufman Settlement, the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, and the United Jewish Fund. My activities with the Irene Kaufman Settlement were minimal, being only a member of the board and nothing further. It is indicative that throughout my whole life, I've tried to act behind the scenes more as a catalyst than anything else. For some unaccountable reason, possibly shyness more than anything else, I have shunned the limelight, and in no case, or I'll say rarely, did I ever want the testimonials that have been showered upon many of my friends. when the United Jewish Fund and the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies were having real problems, a group of us sat down together to find out what could be done. And at a memorable meeting held in the old family hotel, presided over by Leon Falk, we then reorganized the two together as the United Jewish Federation of Pittsburgh, combining the organizations with one purpose in mind, to have one drive for everything. Even though good friends shared this effort, Lewis Kaplan became the first president of the reorganized, merged group, followed immediately afterwards by Lewis Reisenstein. Again, neither Leon Falk nor I would take an active interest in the operation there. Even though the population of Pittsburgh remains static, the Jewish community seems to be going forward quite rapidly. Since 1948, naturally, over the last 25 years, the Israeli activities have been uppermost in the fundraising activities of the Pittsburgh group. Consequently, the emergency funds that have been required year after year has welded the Pittsburgh group, the Pittsburgh Jewish group, solidly together. So there's no longer the lines of demarcation between German Jews, Russian Jews, and all other Jews of all nationalities, nor do is there any wide diversity between the Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox groups. I have high hopes for the future of the Jewish community of Pittsburgh. Activities of the young men today, they are becoming more and more noteworthy, and they are becoming more and more active in the national scene as well as the local scene, all of which spells a great future for Jews in Pittsburgh. I have been unable to impress greatly upon the Jewish community any of the things that I had hoped for. Also, one of the most important uses that I may have made has to do with the Vocation Rehabilitation Center, with the helping to develop the new Montefiore Hospital, and of course with the welding together and the success of the United Jewish Federation. Hopefully I have been of some service in bringing the Jewish community into a favorable relationship with the non-Jewish community. America today is at the low point of credibility because of much that we have heard about Watergate and the activities of the present administration. However, these are only passing phases. As I can look back through Teapot Dome and many of the other dark periods in American history, especially in 1932, when no one thought that the United States had any future at all. With my knowledge of the technology of this country and the activities and the brain power available, I have no fear that we again will be able to weather this storm and emerge again as probably the leaders of the world, even outdistancing the Soviet Union in progress. In my own mind, there is no doubt that the future of America is tied up with the economic stability of its people. During the period of the last 25 years, we have seen the improvement in such things as social service, in the social security, in the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, in the Federal Reserve Board, and in many of the things brought in by the Roosevelt administration, much as those of us may have disliked it. We have become more and more socially oriented so that I can see in the future a leveling off of the wealth through taxes mostly, whereby the huge fortunes of the past will become fewer and fewer, and the plight of the poor and indigent will become less and less acute. Possibly by the year 2000, the relative level of income will be more nearly 60% in the medium brackets, with only 10% in the low brackets, and probably 30% in the high brackets. We are present in a socialistic type of government, and we are heading for more and more of it. Not particularly of the type that we understand in the communist world or the socialistic world, but just an evolution trying to bring the level of the poor up to a good business level, so that eventually everyone will have an automobile, everyone will have the television, and everyone will have the comforts of their own homes. And those homes will be not the homes built, jerry-built, that will be of the satisfactory construction level that we all demand today. Inflation is with us and will remain with us. Inflation is inescapable, where we have round after round of wage increases, which then go into round after round of price increases on what is being manufactured. And this goes all the way back into farming, where the trend away from the farm is now going to become more and more acute, unless someone has found a means of bringing people back into the farm. One of the most astute of the American politicians told me recently that everything is attempting to be done in this country to bring people back to the out of the urban scene, back into the rural scene, feeling that this might be the final solution to crime in the urban communities, which is never or rarely ever felt in the rural communities. How this is to be done, even he did not know. There's nothing static in this world today. As I came into the business world in 1919 and 1920, I'd look at it far differently today than I did in those days. The desire for bigness is, I think, uppermost in everyone's mind. And it's unfortunate that the plight of the young Jew or the young person today to own and operate his own business is becoming less and less profitable and less possible. I would doubt today if any young man should look to his own personal business ownership, since it doesn't seem possible in this age of bigness. We take, for instance, the young Jew who emerged from high school some 30 years ago, even in the state of Pennsylvania, where at one time there were some 52,000 small grocery stores. This today has developed into some 5,000 large grocery stores doing probably 10 times the volume than the 50,000 did in the old days. In my early days, there were 177 automobile companies in this country. Today, there are really three big ones and one small one. The same thing applies to electronics. The same thing applies to nearly every facet of our American industry today. For myself, 20 years from now, I would say that the world will be, at least this country will be far more socialistic than it is today. Now, at that time, the ability to earn large sums of money will be somewhat lessened. And unless a young man has unusual authority, he would probably be far better off in the professional fields, provided, of course, they remain the way they are today and are not circumscribed by government fiat, like, for instance, medicine itself may one of these fine days be completely under government domination. Since we at the hospitals begin to look forward toward increasing deficits, and I'm sure that the doctors themselves feel exactly the same way, so that universal health care in this country will be a must 20 years from now. To the advice that I could give a young man 20 years from now as to whether he should go in the furniture business or not, a great many things must occur between now and then. And I am sorry to say I would be completely lost now in trying to determine what answer I could give 20 years from now. I have never had any qualms of conscience on being raised as a Jew in America. I have described my early life as a Jew in Chillicothe, Ohio, and in Detroit, and in Pittsburgh. I've always been proud of the fact that I've been a Jew because of the heritage. We as Jews can look back upon our heritage as intellectuals as being of the utmost importance in our calculations of how far the Jew can possibly get in this country. No time do I feel that the necessity for integrating into the non-Jewish community and to tell the community itself that I don't want to be a Jew any longer is foolish and ridiculous. The only time I felt that a Jewish life was circumscribed was in the university, when he indicated that jobs in the field of electronics and in chemistry were absolutely non-existent in the early 20s. Naturally, I have no feeling for the young men today, especially those in college, who are advocates of the communistic cause. Since they have